Welcome to the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast.
So, why don't we start with everyone, you know, the conference I care the least about, the AFC. So the Seahawks are an NFC conference. And, you know, the AFC is, I think, an interesting conference this year. In that, you know, I think that the AFC North is probably pretty tough. But I think probably most of the very worst teams in the NFL are in the AFC. So, you know, I think the question is going to be in part, are the Chiefs going to have a third straight Super Bowl appearance? Are the Bills going to rise? Are the Patriots dead? I hope they are, because every time I drive to campus, I have to drive past the goddamn Patriots team plane by the airport that has its six-time world championship thing festooned across the entire thing. And it makes me sick every day when I drive to work. So why don't we get started, I guess, with the AFC East, speaking of the Patriots. Scott, why don't you get started with your thoughts on the East?
Well, as everybody knows, I've been one of the biggest Josh Allen fans from the beginning. I've been absolutely dead right about, you know, he had his haters, but I'm like, I want to, you know, 50% completion percentage from you, you know, from Wyoming to, you know, give him the MVP. But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I've admitted I was wrong 2 years ago, but, you know, I think that even his biggest supporter would be surprised at how well he played last year. And, you know, whether he's that good, I don't know, but I think we pretty clearly established that he's very good. And it's really just a very strong organization. Like, you have to be really impressed with everything that they've done there. Like, the defense seems solid. You know, there is the Cole Beasley problem, although, you know, he's a legitimately good, you know, which is why he hasn't been, you know, that basically if you want to be unvaccinated, you need to be, you know, the best slot receiver in the league last year and not Cam Newton. You know, so, but, you know, they seem to be pretty clear, like, to me, clearly the second best team in the conference after KC. Although the analytics still really like Baltimore, as we'll talk about in the North, who I'm not sure about, but they're still really good. You know, so I think the Bills, and I think this isn't news, I think everybody's picking Buffalo to win the division. And the Patriots, I think, are really interesting. Now, the two of you will know, I mean, based on my limited observation and the numbers, like, Mac Jones seems like the exact opposite of young Josh Allen, and that give him a clean pocket and an open receiver, he'll hit that. And that's literally the site, you know, like, it is no, like, impressive physical traits or, you know, but, and I guess in the Patriots system, that could be okay. But, I mean, the Patriots look to me like a bully team that will, you know, sort of beat up inferior competition. But if you compare them to the, you know, and, you know, I don't really like a lot of the free agent signings value, but they'll certainly improve the team this year. But like, it sort of looks like they look like a team that'll kind of top off at, you know, 9 to 10 wins, losing the first round, you know, kind of thing. But I don't know how you see it.
Rob?
Well, I mean, I think that this is the easiest division to call of any, I think, any division in the NFL, certainly in the AFC. I mean, the Bills are a legitimately good team, and every other team here has pretty substantial weaknesses. You know, I just don't love the idea of really putting any kind of faith in a Patriots team led by Mac Jones. I mean, it just, you know, there's a, especially not just this year, right? I mean, I'm not even sure I would be more optimistic about Cam, but I don't think there's much reason to really expect great things of this team. You know, the Jets are the Jets, and so why are we even bothering to mention them?
I mean, I like the coach, but a long way to go. What do people think about as the college babies? What do you guys think about Wilson? I can't get any kind of sense of him at all.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to. I mean, it's hard to trust the Jets. I mean, it's not as if. I mean, they've had a lot of injuries already. You know, I mean, it's really probably the single worst place for a young quarterback to end up, because he's going to play too young and it's going to be in front of the New York media. You know, I think there's a lot of, I think that until one of these guys proves out, you know, it's a little hard to really believe too much in it.
Right. Right. And you know, I think we can, you know, probably revisit it sometime, the Miami situation. I mean, last year they made one of the most puzzling changes in quarterback that I have seen, right, where they're doing quite well with Fitzmagic, right, and they decide to push in Tua in a way that really seemed to me to endanger his long-term, and still seems to me to have endangered his long-term development.
Yeah, that was a clown show. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick is not going to lead you to the promised land, but you know, you got a good thing going here. You got a young quarterback. Why are you throwing him in a situation that he doesn't belong in the middle of, you know, theoretically, at least,
where, playoff? Right. Where the fan base is, if he fails, the fan base is guaranteed. The wonderful thing about the first year quarterbacks is that they can step in and they fail and it's okay. Right. Nobody cares that they go 2-14 in the first season. Right. But they put him in this situation where there's a mediocre quarterback who's doing quite well. And yeah, it was an awful decision. It was an awful decision. Well, and we don't know how it's going to turn out.
But. And even worse than that is just the indecisive, like just starting to and then yanking him out of games. Like just the not committing was worse than either decision. Like putting in Tua and going with them, like, okay, like keeping with Fitz, okay. But what I really don't understand, naming Tua the starter and then benching me anytime he had a bad quarter. Like that seemed like the worst of all options. Having said that, it's kind of, they're an interesting team in that, you know, I think Tua still has a lot of, I think probably now has underrated upside. He has looked good apparently in camp. And that's a team that, you know, because they have a real defense. And I think, is it safe to say Flores is already the best pro branch of the Belichick coaching tree? Not that that's, you know, much of a, but, you know, like he actually seems competent. You know, so I think that, you know, they probably have a higher upside than the Patriots, but, you know, Belichick and, you know, and the defense, like I think the Patriots have a higher floor. Like I think the Dolphins are the one team that could, you know, be a team you don't really want to face in the playoffs if Tua is good, but they could also. So I think they're interesting to watch, but I think they're a year away.
Now, what's the latest on? I know that Deshaun Watson, said that Miami was a place he would accept a trade to, which makes absolutely no sense for anybody concerned.
Well, he's not. The problem is the NFL is not going to allow him to play this year. So, it theoretically could happen, but you know he's going to be a healthy scratch for the Texans every single game. So I don't see, it's like trading for Trevor Bauer in baseball right now, which the Mets will probably do, but you know.
That's another, man. I would not have anticipated the Mariners having a better record than the Mets this year, but anyway. I think like to me, it's, you know, sort of, you know, Bills are clearly the class of the division. Patriots Dolphins can actually be pretty interesting. I think it'll be hard for two wild cards to come out of that division. So that I think actually could be pretty interesting. And it actually be fun if like Flores and Belichick have to play like what's their schedule? I wonder who they have the schedule. Do you have the, you look up the schedule. I wonder if they play check the Dolphins schedule. That'd be fun if they play late.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I think that the, I'm actually not real confident in the Patriots. I mean, I just feel like this strategy of signing a whole bunch of free agents, it never really works. Like, you know, it's like the old Washington genocide strategy under Daniel Snyder. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, you sign these guys and they sound good and it just doesn't really work out. And, you know, I think that, one thing that got shown last year is that Brady was more important to the Patriots than Belichick was, which is not surprising. I mean, Belichick's still a great coach, but he can't do anything with bad players. I mean, he's got bad players. So if I was to make a unusual pick for this division, it would be that Miami finishes ahead of New England. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but it could happen.
And by the way, they play week 17. So that could be a lot of fun. Week 1 and week 17. That's pretty rare actually, play like opening week and closing weekend, but I like it. That could actually be a lot of fun.
Is there any other thoughts about the division? I mean, I think the Bills are still obviously the better. And again, I was skeptical about Allen too, but what are you going to say? I mean, obviously they put together a great team.
And he was like 90% as good as he was last year. They're still like by far the best team in the division. So
in a bad division, they're going to still going to end up probably with 11 or 12 wins. You know, even if they are not quite as great as we might think they are, that, you know, I mean, you got 2 wins against the Jets and probably 3 wins out of 4 against the other two. That's a heck of a place to start.
Yeah, that's it. And they're just, you know, the infrastructure there is really solid. So I just think that they're not going to have like a lot of really bad weeks. You know, you don't like see them just losing, you know, games to really weak teams and stuff, you know. So yeah, they're good. I think they would not be my top, you know, Super Bowl contending choice, but they have a chance. They're certainly a top 5 team in the league for sure.
Yeah, now the Bills Mafia can engage in various felonies at the game while supporting a good team.
bad. Yeah, it's no fun if tables are not being broken. It's not football. We need some, you know, Orchard Park needs some destruction. So hopefully we're back.
Yeah, but all right. Well, let's move on to the AFC South. You know, which I think is a pretty crap division. But Rob, you have any thoughts on the South?
Well, you know, obviously this is a division which I used to have my heart used to be in with respect to the Titans, and you know, I was in Nashville this weekend, and one thing I'll say is that, like, you really do have a lot of Titans fans in Nashville, and they're pretty enthusiastic about it. And I also happen to think that the Titans are clearly the best team in this division, and you know, I will say that clearly, but I think that they're considerably better than the Colts, you know, especially given the situation that the Colts have at quarterback right now. So, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence has every opportunity to be outstanding this year, but it's not going to matter because the Jags are just not all that good, even with a good quarterback. And I also think that the Texans have the opportunity to go 0-16, or 0-17. They have the opportunity to be the first team to go 0-17.
No 500 teams this year. That's right.
Yeah, no, and I mean, honestly, I don't think a single human being would be surprised to see the Texans go 0-17. Even in what is a pretty... Because what you're going to pick the Texans to beat the Jaguars even at home? And so, you know, if you can't even reliably believe that that's going to happen, then when are you going to actually expect the Jaguars to win? But I have the Titans in this division. I think that they're, you know, with Henry and Tannehill, I think they're going to be clearly the best of a pretty weak division.
Yeah, I have some concerns about the Titans. You know, like Henry, you know, the track record of running backs who run 370 times a year plus postseason is not great. You know, and admittedly, Henry's already kind of, you know, so he could just be a massive outlier, but I think that you have to be somewhat concerned. I mean, Tannehill, I do think, is the real deal, and I thought that last year. You know, so I do think he's good. And the defense is still... And I'm kind of surprised that Vrabel's not put together a better defense there. Like, it's still one you can move on. But having said that, is I agree with Rob that in the context of this division, it's not going to matter. You know, the Texans are just, you know, one of the worst organizations in North American pro sports. You know, the Colts have, you know, a COVID denialist quarterback who also was, you know, arguably the worst, you know, regular quarterback in the NFL last year. And there are a lot of other good things about that, but you know, I don't think you can pick them to win the division, given that it's not clear if Wentz will play, and it's also not clear if he's any good. You know, and then, you know, the interesting team here is obviously is the Jags. And, you know, by the way, I saw the other day that Malcolm Butler retired, which caused me to remember that that Pope Urban hired Brian Schottenheimer and Daryl Bevel for his coaching staff, and yet did not get Tom Cable to complete the trifecta. So I don't even, like, what's, if you're going to do that, you got to go all the way. I don't really understand, but I mean, I'll be interested to, you know, to know what you guys think about Meyer. You know, like, I think that on the one hand, you know, the sort of narrative that college coach, you know, like, it could be a little unfair that he's clearly a much better coach than, like, Petrino or Spurrier. You know, and Saban was interesting that his problem wasn't so much that, like, he didn't get good performances out of what he had, is that he drafted a C-minus running back rather than take Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, which is not going to be Urban's problem, obviously. You know, and I think Chip's failure had nothing to do with transition to the pro game. It was just one of many, many coaches who, like, once the league adapted, did not have a counter adaptation. So, you know, I don't know that the failure of other big college coaches really says that he can't. But I'm also pretty skeptical. Like, there's just everything about him suggests that he's not really going to handle being in a situation where he doesn't have all the leverage over his players anymore. You know, and you know, Lawrence is by all accounts a great prospect, but you know, the infrastructure there is just, you know, really, really dismal.
I mean, I think this is a lethal team next year. I think the Jags next year, I think they, you know, something like, you know, 5-12 or 4-13 have some good draft picks. Then going into next year, you have Lawrence with experience, you have Meyer with experience. I think this is potentially a lethal team, but I just don't see it this year.
Yeah, and it'll be pretty obvious whether Meyer has thought, like, you're gonna, you know.
I'm really skeptical about Meyer. I mean, yeah. You know, I think he like Chip Kelly and Spurrier brings that college mindset to the NFL, and you know, that doesn't work. Like, you have to bring an NFL mindset to the NFL, which is what Jim Harbaugh did. And, you know, even if he's kind of struggled in return to the college game, you know, he always understood what an NFL coaching was like, and that's why he had success with the 49ers. And you know, I think that Meyer has made so many early mistakes, you know, whether it's being fined for, you know, practices outside the rules or stating how much he hates free agency and all of this.
Tim Tebow, tight end.
It's not going to work. And like, you know, Lawrence is an excellent prospect, but the team sucks. Like Travis Etienne, you know, who they have their second first round pick, is already out for the season, you know, running back anyway, you know, and of course, you know, Lawrence is running back. I mean, he's operating like it's his college system, and it isn't. And there's just very little evidence of coaches that bring this mentality to the NFL that it works. So I'm very, very skeptical about Urban Meyer. And honestly, I love to see it because I think he's a complete jerk. So
I'm that's more or less where I am. I mean, you know, there's, you know, the one thing is that, like, if Lawrence is really good, it's such a shitty division, apart from the Titans, that there is that there is some possibility that they could do what, you know, that he could just win some games single-handedly. But you can also see what happened to Burrow last year happening to him too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a very high variance situation for a lot of reasons. But at least it will be interesting. And you know, they do have Brian Schottenheimer scheming up, you know, they'll have the most pointlessly complex web of, you know, bubble screens in the NFL. So that's, they have that to look forward to. What is Schottenheimer's job, by the way? Like, who's the Bevel's the OC, right? What the fuck is Schottenheimer do? Is he a quarterbacks coach or something?
Yeah, he's passing game coordinator, which
that's literally the worst fucking job. Like, I realize that it's like, that's like literally the worst job you could conceivably hire. That's just, that is mind blowing. Like, that's, you know, like, holy crap.
Anyway, but the other thing about this
division, like hiring Belichick just to do press conferences.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about this division that nobody's mentioned is the Colts' rates of their incredibly low vaccination rate. Right. Yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz, not surprisingly, because he's always been a Trump humper, you know, gun freak from North Dakota. Like, this is his deal, you know, and he's not vaxxed. And, you know, when is he going to miss time? I mean, I think, you know, that team is going to have some pretty severe COVID issues more than likely. So the Colts have talent, but I think it's, you know, and I think Frank Reich's a pretty good coach, and maybe he can revive Wentz's career. But you know, Wentz himself, between being a total idiot and having limitations anyway, I think is you know, hurting himself. So I you know, the Titans aren't that great of a team, but they're, I think they're clearly going
to
win this division.
I mean, this just occurred to me because just doing some Googling. I mean, they did acquire Julio Jones, right? I mean, It has the opportunity to be a pretty lethal offense. I mean, the Titans could be an extremely lethal offense.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's a good running back. I mean, you know, and Quentin Nelson, if he's healthy, is a superb lineman. So, I mean, they do have some possibilities there.
Yeah, and I think Tannehill's definitely for, you know, it's now like, you know, since he left Adam Gase, he's been just consistently excellent. You know, I think that, you know, and he's got more weapons, you know, and the thing is about, you know, Julio, like, gets hurt a lot, but I think the nice thing is that, like, you know, he's going to be more of like almost a specialty long weapon in that offense. Which I think he's very well suited for. So I think that's actually a better situation for him than Atlanta's been. So yeah, no, that is, no, I like the Titans offense a lot. And again, if, you know, even if Henry is great, they can sort of live with that. You know, when playing the very best teams, I am really, you know, it's very hard for me to see them stopping Buffalo or Kansas City, you know, in a play. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is that the defense is still really, really shaky. And like, Tannehill's good, but he's, you know, I'm not sure he's like win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes good. You know, but again, in terms of this division, that's neither here nor there. They're going to make the playoffs. You know, probably have a home game in the first round, and then we'll see. And, you know, you never know, you know, I mean, there aren't a lot of other contenders. So, you know, you're one, you know, injury away, you know, from, so, you know, so it's not a bad position to be in, you know, for sure. I do like a lot of things about that team, but I'd like them a little more if they had a pass rush.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else to say about this boring division of bad teams?
Yeah. Well, I will say though, that the between the Titans are a fun team to watch, and the Jaguars they'll be interesting. you know, between Lawrence and Zingo. I mean, that's so, you know, and even in their own train wreck way, the, you know, and then the Texas just for connoisseurs of terrible and just everything about like that situation is just like basically like the Patriots team chaplain taking over an organization. It's just like,
well, it is, I guess. And we you know, don't want to go too long here.
Dan Jenkins novel,
six other divisions, but it is astounding how fast what seemed to be a Super Bowl contender has fallen apart to likely being one of the worst teams in NFL history.
I think Watson was great last year. Like they were 4-12, and Watson had a really good season. So, like, imagine them with like is Tyrod? Who is there? Is Tyrod the quarterback?
It's Tyrod Taylor's going to start. Yeah,
and you know, I like Tyrod, but you know, yeah,
that's cool. I mean,
yeah, geez.
He's not going to win you games. I mean, he's not going to lose you games per se.
Yeah,
but he still could be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a tabula rasa. Like, he'll look about as good as the organization he's with, which is, you know, and they're an organization that went 4-12 with Deshaun Watson arguably having his best season. So that is brutal. And no J.J. Watt either. Like, oh, yeah, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is one of the you know, that is just a dismal, dismal situation.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the what is a far more interesting division, I think, is the AFC North. Where you have the Ravens,
have a hot take.
Pretty good team. The Browns could be good. Who knows what the Steelers are going to do? And even the Bengals, I don't know, are going to be terrible. Scott,
that's my hot take. That's my hot take. I want to go first. Hot take.
Go ahead, Rob.
I want to get it. Bengals win this division.
Whoa, that is hot. That is spicy.
It's a very hot take. I have some optimism. I think that their wide receiver core actually isn't bad, right? I mean, it's sort of NFL standard. You know, Mixon has always been a pretty mixed running back, but he's obviously a really talented guy, and he's seen a lot of success. And Burrow did not have a bad year last year before he got hurt, and he won a lot of experience. He had a lot of snaps, a lot of fallbacks, and a lot of passes. So, I mean, this is a good division. Let's be clear about that. There are a lot of really interesting players here. I mean, for some reason, the Steelers are always going to have the chance to win this division, and the other two teams are quite good. But you know, I'm going to go ahead and call right now that Joe Burrow leads the Bengals to the division title here.
Bold.
Well, like there's a fine line between a spicy take and a Cincinnati chili take, and I'm afraid that's a five way all the way for me. Sorry, my apologies.
We should have a graphic. We would have a graphic here, like would have the five spice take.
Yeah. You know, I don't. I think the Bengals will definitely be improved. Although I still, you know, they still seem to be just doing galaxy brain stuff for their offensive line that I don't really understand. You know, and that's my biggest concern is just whether Burrow. I'm also not super impressed with the coach either. Like, you know, with one of those, like, you know, remember that year where, like, you know, every head coaching hire was like somebody who, like, you know, had a beer with Sean McVay once, and then kind of, you know, but I think in the long term, I think they're interesting. And again, there are some other divisions in which I would like them more. But you know, the Ravens, I mean, it's easy to take them for granted, and I'm not sure. I mean, the Football Outsiders actually haven't projected as like the second best team in football. I mean, just barely ahead of the Chiefs and Bills. You know, which I think is, I like the Chiefs and Bills more, but they're still really good. Now, again, you worry about Lamar's vaccination status, which most don't know about. You know, but Harbaugh's an excellent coach. You know, it's a very solid organization. And the Steelers had just an exceptionally good defense and a lot of weapons. So, like, Ben is pretty much washed, but they don't really need, you know, I see a lot of resemblance between the Steelers and the Saints of the last 2 years, where you kind of have like the aging veteran who's good enough to get a really good team into the playoffs. But then I have a lot of concerns about how that's going to, you know, so I think you're going to see them turn into a pumpkin. And I think, you know, the Browns, I see them because, you know, but they were, you know, I mean, they beat up on the Steelers in the playoffs last year. You know, Mayfield, I think is maybe slightly disappointing, but like, he seems to be like a high floor. Like, you know, he's decent. You know, I think he's not, you know, he obviously doesn't have Burrow's upside, but, you know, he's solid. You know, and that team could have a really outstanding pass rush. So, you know, I think, but so it's not so much, I like Burrow, but that's a lot to ask. That's three, you know, pretty good teams. You know, and, you know, even if Burrow has the best year of the four quarterbacks, which I think is very, is very possible that, you know, the Bengals have by far the worst defense in that division and by far the worst defensive line in the division. And that's tough to overcome. But again, at least for people in a Cincinnati TV market, they're going to be a lot more fun to watch than they've been in recent years. So, yeah, but hey, there's a lot to be said for staking out. I mean, if this comes through, everybody will remember, and if it doesn't, you know, nobody. So, you know, I say be bold, but I can't quite join you. Maybe Eric will award that a chili con carne rather than a gold star.
I don't know. You know, it sounds more like Minnesota Nice Spice to me, which is an actual thing. As I said last week while in Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that you want to have optimism with Bengals, but this is a weird year in the NFL for me, at least, because I feel like other than the Chiefs, and we'll get to this as we go down the line, there's not a team I really believe in the entire NFL, you know? And so, you know, you look at this division, which is, of course, a strong division, unquestionably, but I don't really love any of these teams. I mean, Roethlisberger is old and he's not Brady. You know, and now there's a history of injuries. I mean, the Steelers are probably pretty good, but are they really a threat good? I don't know. The Browns, you know, I like the Browns mostly. I agree with Scott on Mayfield that he's probably a pretty good quarterback in the end, but one that's probably going to make a lot of mistakes for his career and throw some dumb picks. And then with the Ravens, I mean, I would love the Ravens, but, you know, Lamar Jackson has not progressed in passing. And he can't – the Ravens are not going to go to the promised land despite his incredible skills unless he becomes a somewhat better passer. And that did not happen last year. If anything, he regressed as a passer. So, you know, I would probably take the Ravens here. But I think that it would be shocking if the Bengals snuck into the playoffs. No, it would not. However, like the NFC West, there is a lot of division competition that's going to lead to extra losses for some of these teams that – mediocre team like the Raiders could potentially sneak into the playoffs because their schedule is a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bengals were in the East, I think they would have a real puncher's chance of getting one of those extra wild cards, but that's going to be a tough division to get a second wild card. Like that would be my one concern. Although, you know, if Jackson misses time with COVID, Roethlisberger gets hurt, you know, I mean, there's a scenario there, you know, because you say like they're all good teams, but they're all a little flawed.
Ben doesn't need to get hurt, right? He could just fall off a cliff, right? I mean, he is at the place where he could be completely useless this year, right? Or he could be completely useless after week four. I mean, with somebody that old, it's really just Russian roulette.
I mean, I think he doesn't have, he's not on Brady's conditioning plan either.
No, I mean, the better comp is Brees. Right. He just, at some, you know, as we discovered last year, was just finished, you know, and it happens, except for Brady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And the team is not good enough that, like, that, you know, they could drag, like, Peyton Manning to a title, right? That was a very good team, and the Steelers not good enough to do that.
No, they don't have that. It was that defense that won that title, right, for the Broncos.
Yeah. And even that required just an incredible number of, you know, like that. That's not a replicable model. Like, they won an enormous amount of, like, three, you know, coin flip games, too. Like, that's, you know, that's not, you know, I mean, you know, because that's basically the best case scenario for the Steelers. Like, they have top three defense in the league, which they certainly could. Roethlisberger, you know, and I remember from that year is that, like, Manning would be pretty good for the first quarter, and then whatever shots they were putting in his shoulder would wear off. He just couldn't, like, make any throws at all. But I just don't think, like, that is just not a replicable money. Like, you need a lot of things, you know, like, to go right.
I mean, a lot of times those games are late afternoon in Denver, and so, you know, he was really sort of getting hungry for that afternoon special at the King's Table around the second quarter, right? And if he didn't get that buffet, then it was really tough for him to continue.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
I mean, when you have that many companies you're shilling for, you know, it's a lot of calories you're contractually obligated to eat. It's tough.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting. But, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, certainly there's reason for optimism for a Bengals fan, which is in itself pretty unusual. So you could both of the teams in the greater Lexington, Cincinnati market are at least going to be fun to watch this year. So.
Look, like Ohio generally, you know, every year or every election, people say, oh, Ohio's going to come back, and it never does. And I think the Browns and Bengals is a pretty similar scenario. So Ohio people are being used to failure, that they should be okay.
You see this as a J.D. Vance situation, not a Josh Mandel situation.
Well, you know, J.D. Vance, you know, is a man of the working class from the Cincinnati suburbs. And what is more Appalachian than the Cincinnati suburbs? So I think that the Bengals may go the way of J.D. Vance's political ambitions. So
yeah. I got to say, all the way to the White House. He's the only thing that could make me like laugh about Josh Mandel becoming United States Senator. it's an objectively horrible thing, but it's going to be very funny to see Mandel be advanced by 50 points. Like there's no way around it.
This is how I felt in 2016 when Scott Walker failed. You know, I was like, well, you know, Donald Trump, at least Scott Walker failed. So exactly. Anyway, okay. The AFC West, an interesting division, I believe.
America's favorite division.
Yeah, America's favorite. Yes, Scott. Why don't, since Rob started last time, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, and this is interesting because this is the kind of division where if the Bengals were in, I would like their chances a lot more. Although we do have an interesting. So, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that the Chiefs are the best team in this division. I know that's a little controversial, a little spicy, but you know,
Philly Tech.
Yeah, I'll take Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You know, I mean, there are talking about them at the very top level. You know, there's still some concerns there. You know, the wide receiving depth is thinned out. You know, your classic cap issues. You know, the offensive line almost has to be, you know, better. You know, than it was towards the end of last year. But you know, you still have some concerns, and you can see. Like, you know, one thing we've learned is that as great as Mahomes is, he's not somebody who can, you know, just overcome anything. And you can say the same thing about Tom Brady. It's not that big of a, you know, like Tom Brady's winning shit behind that offensive line. I'll tell you that. But, you know, it's still like there's some lingering concerns, you know, but obviously they're the best team in the conference. You know, I think that if they're remotely healthy, that's the biggest concern is just that, you know, and we know this as Seahawks fans that, you know, once your quarterback's no longer on a rookie deal, you know, you tend to kind of develop into a stars and scrubs roster. And, you know, one or two of those stars get hurt, and the situation can look a lot different. But obviously in this division, I mean, there are some, you know, I would say the Chargers are interesting because of Herbert, who even, you know, we have two Oregon homers here who I think it's safe to say did not anticipate what a good rookie year he would have. I mean, I think that's a surprise to everybody. You know, I mean, the Broncos are, you know, speaking of which, they're sort of a poor man's version of that Super Bowl team. You know, the defense looks very good, very impressive receiving weapons. You know, and I think it's actually smart for them to go with Teddy, who's just basically the most, you know, platonically mediocre quarterback in football. But on a team with a good defense and good weapons, that strikes me as better than Drew Locke, whatever it is that he brings to the table. You know, so I think that's certainly a team that could be a wild card. I don't see them, you know, I don't think they're going to be good enough to go further than that. The Raiders, I really don't like at all. You know, I just, you know, like basically like, you know, Carr and Bridgewater are pretty similar, but I think you have to like the rest of the infrastructure on the Broncos more.
I don't know. I would never. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
I would never want to have Bridgewater on my team rather than Derek Carr. I mean, that's.
Carr's better. Yeah, he is.
Carr's a lot better, right? Carr is a lot better.
Yeah.
And so. And I think the rest.
Well,
of the
I'm not sure, awesome. But better. Yeah.
He was terrific last year, right? And he actually got better. That one game that he missed, that like Eric and I was our favorite NFL game ever because it was Herbert versus Mariota. But Carr played lights out every single game after that, right? Like the rest of the season, he just
He did finish really strong. I do agree with that.
And you know, he's obviously there's a lot of stuff going on with him. But when he wants to be, he can be an exceptional quarterback. And so, you know, obviously the rest of the roster, the Broncos are better. But I just do not see them at this point with Teddy Bridgewater is right now winning a wild card. I don't really see the Raiders making it to the wild card either. I mean, I see pretty much what you saw, which is the Chiefs. Although, I mean, we do have to sort of talk about whether the Chiefs kind of got exposed, right? I mean, this was, you know, it was not the Tampa Bay was not the best team ever. And they had a really good game plan going in. And the question is going to be sort of what other teams can learn from how Tampa Bay sort of mangled the Chiefs offense. Because that's basically what happened, right? I mean, they basically just undercut the Chiefs' offense. And so there's got to be a lot of learning in this division, especially about how Tampa Bay went about sort of manhandling the Chiefs. That said, you would be wrong to say the Chiefs are going to be anything less than 13-4 and win the division. I think the Chargers are a good. I always get the Chargers and Rams mixed up now, but the Chargers are a good bet for, or a very good bet for a wild card. And there's every reason to think Herbert will be as good as he was last year. But I wouldn't write the Raiders out of it, and I would write the Broncos out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously the Chiefs should win the division, but I think that Rob's right here. It's a little bit like when the Patriots beat up on Sean McVay in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden the next year that offense was not what it was. Now, Patrick Mahomes is no Jared Goff, so there's that right up front, and Andy Reid is a better coach than McVay, so I don't necessarily anticipate the same sort of thing. It may have just been a bad game, but there's something to be said there, and they are that situation. And, as the Seahawks have been of paying a few stars a lot of money, and that does limit your possibilities. So it's possible you could see a regression. It's funny. I feel like when I read a lot of previews, people are really a little skeptical about the Chargers. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Chargers are doing it the right way, more or less, in the sense that unlike what happened with Mariota, where a bunch of really bad coaches attempted to fit this, running option type quarterback into, systems that were antiquated in 1997. The Chargers are actually building an offensive system around what Herbert does well. I mean, I think there's that finally, it's gotten through to NFL coaches that, at least some NFL coaches, that your system as offensive coordinator is actually meaningless, that the system has to evolve around the talent that you have. So I think it's a progress being made on that front. And I think the Chargers are going to benefit from that. They do have health issues and are a little thin in areas. I also agree with Rob more or less about Carr. I mean, I think he's been tremendously inconsistent, but the Raiders have some level of talent and the Broncos have some level of talent too, certainly. But I think that the problem there is that John Elway continues to draft horrible quarterbacks, right? I mean, it's bad draft after bad draft after bad draft, and he keeps going down that well, and every single one is a failure. And at this point, if you're starting Teddy Bridgewater over your first round pick from a couple of years ago, that's a failed pick. And so, I guess I'm beginning, I really feel that the Broncos are basically not going to win until John Elway has nothing to do with the franchise. That's where I stand here. But there is something to be said now that there's seven playoff spots. As we, at the end of this podcast, begin to think about who's going to get in the playoffs, we're going to start kind of beginning to wonder, like, who is that seventh spot? And it could be a team like the Raiders or Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I like the medium term, I like the Chargers a lot more than either the Raiders or Broncos. Just for this year, the like mediocre quarterback play could be enough to get the Broncos into the playoffs, because they have the best defense in the division and the receiving, assuming Sutton is healthy, like that, that they also have a really impressive receiving core, and Bridgewater is at least competent, which is more than you can say for any quarterback that John Elway has ever drafted. But it's not so much that I like the team as that, I think the obvious flaw in that is that, getting good enough quarterback play to get the third wild card position and then losing the playoffs is not, the Chargers are trying to build a team that's really good. The Broncos are trying to sort of eke out a, playoff spot, but, it's short-term thinking that could pay off this year. But Locke, I don't like at all. If they have to play him, they're in big trouble. Cause he's way worse than Carr, let alone Herbert or Mahomes.
Well, Rob, do you want to do some conference championships? Go for it.
Okay, well, starting off with the AFC, I think one would be a fool not to pick Kansas City to be in the championship game. I'm going to go on a limb here, and it's not going to be my Cincinnati Bengals limb.
I was hoping you'd go out,
There's only so far that limb.
That would be the seven-way spicy take,
I'm going to go for an all-AFC West conference championship, and I'm going to say the Chargers. It's going to be Chiefs versus Chargers playing their third game of the season. I think they're going to split the regular season, and I think we'll see them playing in the championship game. With respect to the AFC, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a battle of the Bays. I think we're going to see Green Bay versus Tampa Bay. I'm not going to try to pick a winner between those two, but that's what I see right now. Oh, really? At the geriatric bowl, the geriatric battle of the Bays in the NFC.
Scott?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Bills Chiefs is such obvious chalk that I'm really reluctant to. But I think those are pretty clearly the two best teams in the division. You know, probably, you know, if you held a gun, like say you were going to tell me that the Mahomes or Allen would get hurt, I would actually be inclined to pick the Steelers just because I really, really like their defense. They're another team that has very good coaching as well. So that would probably, and I just don't really like I'm not high on the Ravens this year. So that would probably be my kind of, you know, if I had a sleeper team, you know, but I think that, you know, Dolphins and Chiefs are pretty clearly the class of that conference.
You mean Bills and Chiefs?
Bills and Chiefs. Sorry.
I know how high you are on Tua this year, but.
They say Dolphins and no. I mean, I think the Dolphins could absolutely be a wild card team. I do not see them in the conference championship. Yeah. I think Bills and Chiefs, you know, in the other conference, I mean, again, it's very hard because of the way the divisions are set up to resist a Green Bay, Tampa Bay, rematch. You know, yeah, I would, if I had to bet, that's how I would bet. You know, again, I will defend Jameis up to a, you know, they could be a 10 and 11 win team. I do not want Jameis Winston anywhere near a playoff game I'm starting. You know, so that's, you know, that there's you know, I just don't, I see that basically the Saints are going to end up the way they have the last 2 years as a team that could be a championship team with a real quarterback and don't have one. You know, and then I think that probably the next likely team would be whoever comes out of the office. I think the Seahawks and Rams would be 3 and 4 for me. You know, and I just, you know, whoever wins the NFC, you know, we can argue about whether it's Washington or Dallas, but I don't, you know.
Who cares?
I don't. Yeah, right. They're not going anywhere. You know, they could be like a Seahawks team that decides to run the ball 30 times in the first half or something, but they're not. You know, they're not going to win two playoff games. I don't see that. So, yeah. So I think that's probably the you know, again, I hate to be boring, but I think that's, you know, I you know, there seems to be a real, and I don't know if this is COVID or something else. Like, there really seems to be a bit of a Brazilian distribution, and that, like, the elite teams in the league seem pretty far from the second tier in a way that's pretty unusual for the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for a league that really is, you know, designed for parity, it's not very much parity right now.
And I think that's partly because there's a lot of, you know, really good quarterback prospects that are in the initial stages of their career with bad teams. Like, I think it's going to be a lot more interesting 2 or 3 years from now. But right now, having a quality veteran quarterback really puts you way ahead of the pack. So I think that's why there's so much stratification.
So I'm going to go chalk on the AFC. I think it's Chiefs Bills. It's hard to argue for anybody else. You know, I think maybe the Browns could sneak in actually, to the championship game, but it's
not, wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't bet on it, you know. For the NFC, you know, I'll go with the Bucs because I there's obviously a lot of reason to do so, but I do think that, you know, the Packers, you know, caught some fairy dust last year, and everything kind of worked out for them, and Rodgers returned normal and everything else, but there is some discontent there. You know, I don't think that happens again. And the other thing to say about the West is that you're going to have some battle hardened teams out of there that maybe aren't the number one or two seeds, but at this point, only number one seed gets the wild card. So everyone else is going to be playing through it. You know, you're going to have teams that have had a lot more tough games than Green Bay has. So, I'm actually going to go with the Rams as the other team. I prefer to go to the Seahawks, but again, that depth issue at the skill positions to me is pretty massive. So I'm going to go Buccaneers Rams in the NFC.
I like how Rick Lobos and I are going with a different LA team for our dark horse for the championship games.
Yeah.
It is the mecca of NFL football.
Well, you know, look, if both teams have home games in the championship, I'm sure it'll get at least 15,000 fans.
So, you know, it's good that there's two.
Los Angeles team hasn't won the Super Bowl since 1984. So, you know, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably enough here. So, Rob, Scott, thank you very much. And let's enjoy a season of the National Football League. Thank you all.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And who knows, maybe I will be able to watch it in my own homes by week 8.
I am ready for some football.
Thank you again for listening to the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast. We would like to thank Elizabeth Nelson of The Paranoid Style for supplying the music necessary to make this podcast possible. You can find this track and the rest of The Paranoid Style's catalog anywhere you can find quality music. If you would like to support the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast or any other aspect of the Lawyers, Guns, and Money project, please visit us at www.patreon.com/lawyersgunsandmoney or donate through the PayPal link on the main website. Thank you again.